Welcome back to Wrestling with Kayfabe. Papa Shro here with you, boy DEJ. It is it's nice to be back to talk about some wrestling.
Papa Shro, how's it going,
buddy? It's pretty good, you know. Just been working, you know. Us normal folk, we got our nice little schedules and working, and you know. So the consistency that has not been there necessarily, but you know, nevertheless, here we are.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. I mean, it's a crazy world out there right now. That's for sure.
That is a fact. And
even the WWE can't avoid it, man. You know, Vinnie Mac is finally out of his throne. I guess you could say, call it the throne. It's a wild time, but you and I were talking about this before we recorded, and you said we'll get into it. We got too much to go over, but you know. It's wild. I mean, you introduced wrestling hardcore to me when we were kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, Vinnie Mac has been the guy for 60 years.
Yeah.
You know, and to see it change is, I don't know how much of it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how much of it is a good change rather than just something new.
I hear that.
And I think people need to keep that, you know, in perspective. As much as we, you know, find Triple H's mind brilliant for mining new wrestlers, and I believe I've heard that Paul Heyman has quite a hand in it too, in a few different aspects. So, I mean, there's really not two more creative minds than Paul Heyman and Triple H. That's also funny how that changes from, you know, 10, 15 years ago when nobody wanted Triple H to have any control of creative, and now he's control of the whole company.
Right.
So, you know, it's just funny how that changes and how people wanted him to be in control. But,
well, and I think a big part of it is just seeing how NXT ran and for so long, and when he kind of took over it, and it kind of abruptly ended with, you know, AEW kind of beating them in the ratings. And, you know, I think that was kind of a down period a little bit. And it just showed, like, I think it's so hard when you get these stars that are plucked. And then I think another big thing, obviously, for Vince in that time period is just the fact that, you know, he pulls these guys up from NXT and then they don't deliver for him. But then when they're introduced to the main roster, they're devolved into a completely different character. You got to take, you know, the first name away. You can't have two names on Raw or SmackDown. I mean, that's just insane.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, it's just the fact that I think Vince also undervalued a lot of that NXT talent, just for the simple fact that, you know, he didn't use them correctly, and it was a totally different environment in NXT, really.
Well, I mean, look at Karrion Kross. I mean, he came out in his first run as like a weird medieval knight. So, I mean, you know, it's weird how things change just
what
by
is
one
that?
Person's perspective. You know, and now he has hair again. So,
right.
You know, he looks good. I didn't get to watch him wrestle a lot at NXT when he was in his, you know, big push as champion and all that. So I'll be interested to see how he does. But, you know, I've heard really good things about him. You know, and another good storyline right now is, you know, like you talked about the NXT guys, is Riddle and Seth Rollins.
Absolutely.
You know, I think even though I think Riddle's character falls into an RVD type, where it's just kind of like, you know, well, how seriously can I take you, you know? But with Seth Rollins, who I think is absolutely at the peak of his career right now, just in overall performance, I don't think he's been any better, you know, in the ring and on the mic and all that stuff. And him and his wife, Becky, were sharing the same character pretty much for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're taking notes or what, but, you know, I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy to think. But how do you feel about, I saw something the other day that said that Stephanie McMahon is basically going to let Triple H hire whoever he wants.
I love that. I don't mind that at all, just for the simple fact, look at NXT. If you want to look at NXT, what Triple H put together, you can simply change the channel to Dynamite and see it.
Right.
I mean, looking at the guys, Adam Cole, I mean, how over is Adam Cole? You know, it was, you know, through all that. I mean, you know, you like one moment that stood out to me in a big way is when they did that big show in Long Island with the stadium, you know, it was like 20,000 seater. And when he got to the ring and he got on the apron and, you know, did the Adam Cole Bebe, like even just him, the moment of his song where it says boom and he points to himself on the ring apron, like to hear 20,000 people mimic that was just all I could think in my head is like, wow, this guy is over, like over, you know, a type that I feel like, you know. And maybe it's because there's more hardcore in, you know, when NXT was really at its height, hardcore wrestling fans is what I was trying to say, but and AEW, of course, and not as much at casual guys, or, you know, casual fans going to these events and stuff. But at the same time, it just goes to show, I mean, that, you know, wrestling is transcendent, and when done right, that, you know, wrestling is a huge, huge thing that we've been doing for a long, long time. And I think, you know, sometimes it gets a little misconstrued, can't speak, but, you know, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, I think sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, wrestling's not cool. Wrestling's like, when it's done right, it's fucking cool.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and
right.
Fun.
You know, and I think it's gotten quite the big push in the positive momentum in the wrestling world in general. I mean, there's two primetime TV wrestling shows on TV.
On Fox.
Right. And, you know, and TNT. I mean, that hasn't happened. Yeah. TBS, that hasn't happened in 20, 30 years. You know, I mean, there was TNA, but that wasn't primetime. It was Spike TV, you know, in the middle of the week. So, you know, if there's a primetime television. And like you said with Adam Cole, you know, I actually went to the last time they were here in Kansas City doing Dynamite and the Rampage taping. And he's super over. I mean, you know, he's super over. A guy who is over the moon is Jon Moxley, obviously.
Yeah.
That's kind of, unfortunately, they had just gotten the breakdown where Punk just broke his foot. MJF walked out, and Sting was hurt too. So I didn't see MJF. I didn't see CM Punk. I didn't see Sting. So, you know, you lose three of their biggest stars. It's like, well, damn it. You know?
Yeah, that does suck.
Jon Moxley and Kyle O'Reilly, which I actually messaged you after the show, and I said, why is Kyle O'Reilly getting such a big push? You know, I mean, not that he doesn't deserve it. I mean, you know, he's really good in the ring. But, you know, you'd think from all the WWE guys that are in AEW now, you know, Kyle O'Reilly was getting a bigger push than, you know, a lot of them, which was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, no, that's the truth, because I thought that one night, too, and one night I was watching, and I think he was in the main event, and I kind of gave up on it just because the way Kyle O'Reilly was kind of presented in WWE, which, you know, like you said, it's nothing wrong with it, and Kyle O'Reilly's a really good wrestler, but, you know, at the same time, I was just like, I don't really want to see Kyle O'Reilly on his own. You know, I like him with the Red Dragon. I liked him, you know, Undisputed Era. You know, that was all, you know, great stuff, great work. But I'm kind of mad at myself that I did that, because, you know, obviously he's doing something right over there. But, you know, like you said, AEW, kind of going back to like the whole promotion over there. You know, I know we talked about just how many WWE guys are on that poster, you know, or on their posters and at the top of the card. And I don't 100% see it a huge problem yet. You know, I don't think that they've necessarily taken over, and I think strategically they've done that smart to not let them take over. I think with CM Punk, you can get away with it because he was gone so long. He had the, you know, legal battles with WWE. He's not necessarily a WWE guy, although, of course, he was born and, you know, his star was, you know, reached in WWE. So, you know, there is that, but, you know, it's not the same as, like, Bryan Danielson, Moxley, I wanted to call him Dean Ambrose, you know, like, it's just, even that, like, sometimes I'm still like, oh, John Moxley, or, you know, or one to call Bryan Danielson,
right.
So,
right.
You know, sometimes it does get difficult. But one thing I want to go back to really quick, and, you know, we haven't done a show in quite some time, so just getting caught up with everything through time. What do you think about the MJF situation? You think it's a work?
I thought it was a work, you know, about 3 weeks after. And then once you kind of see how they say that nothing has really come of contract, nothing has really come from his camp or him in general, you know, it kind of sounds legit.
And he stayed straight up off social media, too.
Yeah, it kind of sounds legit. I mean, it's either that or the greatest work of all time, yeah. You know, but it sounds legit. And that promo he cut that night was phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, he's been a good promo, but, you know, that was just really good. You know, he basically hit the nail on the head. He saw where AEW is going. You know, he asked him, he said, you know, would you pay more if I was an ex-WWE guy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that hit the crowd. It didn't hit home for the people home, but I think it hit the crowd. And at the end of the day, that's what matters, you know, is your environment around you. So,
yeah, because the crowd at the end of the day is going to change the perspective of the fan at home. And just even that, like hitting the crowd like that, you know, I definitely was taken back. Well, to kind of go off of that, it was a few weeks prior to that, maybe a couple months. I can't remember exactly how long. But he was on with Errol Hawani. Did you see that interview at all? It was a pretty lengthy interview.
I didn't. I saw the one he did with Chris Van Fleet.
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
But I think he was, I mean, I'm almost positive he was being in character. So.
Yeah.
Who knows how much of that was.
Exactly. And with Errol Hawani, you know, that came up contract and if he'd ever go to WWE. And he went on a lengthy tangent about, you know, he's not convinced of anyone. He's not convinced of staying with AEW. He wasn't convinced on going to WWE at the time. And obviously now with Vince being out of the picture, I think that's a lot more of a lucrative option than it was just a couple of months ago. But, you know, oh man, I would honestly love to see MJF in WWE just to see what he could do on that scale. Because, you know, AEW is a great place and a great environment, and I really do enjoy it. But at the same time, I think on the flip side, it's just not the same market, you know what I mean? It doesn't have the same reach, you know, like the absolute casual wrestling fan that wants to pick up and just watch a random, you know, show is going to watch a Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown or, you know, go out. Also, you know, WWE going to Peacock, I think, did make it a lot more open to a lot more people because now you're not paying $10 a month for WWE Network. You're going to pay $10 a month for Peacock. And, oh, hey, there's this tab that says WWE. Let's check it out. Oh, there's a premium live event on right now. Yeah. But you know, so your whole pay-per-view system is to a massive audience that is tangible. You know, it's on the homepage when you go on there, and that's another benefit I think of them kind of going back and forth between Fox and USA Network and, you know, just NBC in general. And It's just so much more reach and potential with him there and his character. Even us debating this right now, it just goes to show how good MJF has really become because we're, you know, what we're a couple months out from that and we're still debating whether it's work or shoot or what is actually happening. You know, the guys went completely dark on social media. It's, you know, like you said, if it's a work, it is the greatest work of all time.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he deserves, you know, a big contract from, you know, Triple H. I mean, that is the biggest work of all time. It's tough. I think a dream matchup in the WWE would be MJF and Kevin Owens. Ooh. You know, I mean, those two on the mic would be phenomenal. Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre the other night on the mic, that was really good. I think it was basically Kevin's doing his prize fighter gimmick again. Which is good because the, you know, feud with Elias was okay, but it's old. You know, we need Price Fighter Kevin Owens back, and I think
it's was that whole thing of him being a liar right at the end of Big E's reign?
Yeah, so Elias came back as Ezekiel.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just him being repackaged and Vince deciding it to be a joke, or, you know, it was that plan all along. Who knows? But
It's probably Vince Elias fucking with somebody, honestly.
Right, yeah. A lot of people thought it was a punishment from Elias, which it could have been. But, you know, if, he came back as Ezekiel, and then Kevin Owens was like, you know, just going crazy saying, no, this is Elias, he's a liar, blah, blah, you know, and they had all the matches. And I think it ended last week, but they had a picture this week of Elias laying in a hospital with a broken foot, and they had all of Elias's family, including Ezekiel, photoshopped in a picture. And it was pretty good. It was a DX kind of thing. So,
and sometimes really super corny right. stuff sometimes I think can be really good in wrestling. And you know,
right.
we all need to laugh at some point in the show, right? Especially with Raw, it's a 3-hour show nowadays, so.
Right. I mean, how do you feel about Austin Theory being Money in the Bank? I was glad to see that they thwarted that at SummerSlam. I was waiting for the, you know, the Bray Wyatt music to hit after Roman Reigns wins the title. We didn't get that,
yeah.
Which was a bummer, but I think they're waiting for a bigger moment for that. But, yeah, how did you feel about that ending of SummerSlam? Well, first of all, that was the craziest match I've ever seen in my life. That last minute standing.
That was awesome. When they announced that it was going to be Brock and Roman again, I was like, are you serious? There's no way I'm going to sit down and watch another 40 minutes of these men wrestling. Like, I am done seeing them. We got them at WrestleMania 31. We got them at WrestleMania 34. Am I missing a WrestleMania in between there? 33? No, that was Goldberg and Brock. But, and Undertaker versus Roman.
There was some Survivor Series. I mean,
you know, a lot of heavy emphasis in this past WrestleMania that was really not anything special, but this, they hit it out of the ballpark. I mean, it was entertaining start to finish. You know, I watched through the whole thing, and then, you know, like, I saw on social media Brock doing the truck and all that good stuff, and so, you know, or the tractor, you know, with the ring, and so that definitely caught my eye, and, you know, then just seeing how the match played out, I definitely really liked it, but, like I said, they hit it out of the park. That was one of my favorite matches that honestly that I've seen quite a while, maybe since WrestleMania, you know, the Stone Cold match. I don't think that I was, you know, I definitely wasn't on that level of excitement as I was for the Stone Cold match, but at the same time, you know, it was fun to watch, and they made it entertaining, and they did it in a different way, and I think that they had to do that. I think they knew they couldn't go out there and have another one-on-one singles match, you know, especially a long one-on-one singles match. But to go back to Austin Theory a little bit, I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about Austin Theory. I don't like him, but then again, that almost makes me like him in a way of just like, okay, you're doing your job. You're kind of getting over with me as a heel because you're that annoying to me that I'm like, you know, because if a wrestler doesn't make you feel anything, I think with, you know, like over the years, The Miz has become one of my favorite superstars of the last 20 years just for the simple fact that he just figures out a way to get under your skin every time.
I was just getting ready to bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, at the same time, I think The Miz has been one of the best microphone guys in the past 20 years.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's hard to find a promo where you go, well, that wasn't very good. You know, it's just like, damn, dude, if you could wrestle a little bit better, you know, but he's gotten better in the ring, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just if you could just, you know, been a little bit better, I think the championship reign would have been much longer, you know, and he'd be easily one of the top 15 guys of all time.
Well, that, and I think he's kind of past his physical prime, you know.
Right.
Like, I think he's on the back end of his career. Yeah.
You know, it's like if Dolph Ziggler got a push right now. Right. You know, I mean, he's still one of the best guys in the ring, but he's just too old.
Yeah.
You know, that's a shame because, I think he could, if Vince gave him a character that was worth anything.
What if Ziggler, I think.
Yeah.
Just because, like, look at the height of that Money in the Bank cash in the night after was that WrestleMania 29? Yeah, I think 29.
Was it? Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, the night after that, I think the Alberto Del Rio beat Jack Swagger the night before, and then the next night they go in and Ziggler cashes in. It's just, you know, one of the craziest pops of all time,
right?
But yeah, with Theory, I haven't seen him enough in the ring, to be quite honest. His character is just super annoying, and I don't think I've seen enough out of him. And I think, like, also, to me, I was just kind of like, this is the guy Vince is pushing. Like, one, weird, because he's kind of a smaller guy. I almost feel like it was Vince's pet project to kind of prove, like, see, I can like these, you know, athletic guys that, you know, have a high ring work rate too, you know. But I don't think that it really panned out. But at the same time, it's also new blood. It's somebody we haven't seen towards the top of the card, and I like that, and I like giving guys chances. And I think that with Triple H, I really do kind of believe that we're going to see that a little bit more of kind of letting guys go out and just, we'll be wrestlers. Cut a promo, sink or swim, you know, and that's what creates stars. You know, that's why The Rock became The Rock. You know, The Rock was booed out of the arena at one point in time as Rocky Maivia. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, I mean, these are all guys that got in a situation of sink or swim, and, you know, they finally figured it out. You don't get promos like, you know, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass, without somebody that, you know, feels the need, I need to take that step, and I need to, you know, do something, you know, to get over, and really working hard to get over and trying to figure out what's going to work. And I think the guys might have a little bit more of a chance to kind of definitely venture out on their own, but, you know, in turn, prove themselves a little bit more.
Well, I think prove themselves is right. You know, I mean, look at Tommaso Ciampa, you know, when he was coming in, and, you know, Triple H gave him a push there, which was great. You know, honestly, I would have liked to see him win the title. And push off of the Miz, but I think that split is coming. I think we've kind of avoided somebody who isn't very full-time at all, but he's definitely made themselves known as Logan Paul. You know,
that's,
I mean,
a fact.
It's wild that somebody who's had two matches, one at WrestleMania, one at SummerSlam, the two of the biggest shows, if not the biggest shows, in the wrestling, in WWE's business, and he's hit home runs both times.
Yeah, that's a fact. I was very impressed. Yeah, I was very impressed with him at WrestleMania. SummerSlam as well. I think both were a hit. I did see that he wants to book another boxing match. So I am a little disappointed that he isn't going to try to jump in a little bit. I mean, obviously he was never going to be like a full-time guy, but, you know, to do maybe a couple storylines a year and just, you know, get to see him in the ring a couple of times and see what he had to offer, because he was very, him and Pat McAfee both just absolutely stole.
Yeah, Pat too.
I don't want to say stole the show at WrestleMania, but they definitely put on a show to be, you know, non-wrestlers and really get in there and, you know, have a good time with it.
I'll tell you what, Pat actually looked better at SummerSlam, I thought. You know? And his overall ability and that leap he took from the mat to the top rope, that was wild. You know, that's not exactly a leap you make every day. So, I mean, Pat's a great athlete. You know, I mean, obviously, but in the ring, he's just been phenomenal. You know, I wanted to ask you this, too. If CM Punk and Jon Moxley, you know, are battling to combine the world championships in AEW. I know we kind of touched on this a little bit, you know, how WWE's kind of blended over to AEW. You know, how do you, I guess I'll do my feeling first, but, you know, I'll ask you so you can think about it. You know, how do you feel about this coming into a TNA range? You know, because, I mean, it was really starting, you know, to head that direction. I mean, not necessarily that they're bringing in Hulk and Mick Foley and Ric Flair. You know, that was in Eric Bischoff. That was kind of the downfall. And they brought in Kevin Nash and Scott Hall at one point, and then Scott Steiner for some reason. You know, so, I mean, that was TNA's fault. But, you know, it's not like AEW has shown that they're against that. You know, you bring in a guy like CM Punk, you bring in, you know, Jon Moxley, and you bring in Adam Cole, and all the guys that, I know you kind of mentioned this earlier, but all the guys that were not original for your company, they're on your posters, you know, they're in your commercials, you know, so you really haven't created a big enough star other than MJF and
maybe Hangman Page, I think, touches that.
Hangman Page, you know, even Kenny Omega's not theirs originally either. So
no, and I don't think that he's been as good in AEW as he was in Japan.
So, you know, I mean, I think they've really got an issue of making their own true big star. Because, I mean, you know, the other guys they got there are Sting. You know, Darby Allin is... Darby Allin's tough because they don't want to win a lot. You know, so how do you make a star if you don't want to win a lot? You know, and...
He reminds me of Jeff Hardy in just a sense that, like, you know, Jeff Hardy was always, like, I'm sure, like, you know, the kids today, you know, like, younger generation of fans would probably, like, definitely really relate to Darby Allin, you know. It just makes me kind of think back to Jeff Hardy and, you know, the ladder match with The Undertaker. And it's like, you always felt like he was, like, on that level kind of maybe with the fans. And maybe not the older generation of fans or, you know, like, you know, whatever you would consider us. I mean, we're, I guess, the older generation of fans at this point, middle range somewhere in there. Right, but, you know, with Darby, I think that it's like with Jeff Hardy back then, it's just like you didn't know if he was really going to be able to reach that pedestal, which he eventually did, but, you know, it just feels like, where do you go with Darby, I feel like? Because he had that match with CM Punk, of course, was great, and then he's been teamed up with Sting, and, you know, I think that's helped him, but, like you said, you know, he doesn't win a ton. So he's just this lovable baby face that's like, will we ever see him really push up into the real top, you know, of the card? You know, he's been TNT champion, but, you know, will he be a world champion? I don't know. At some point, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the only other star they really have right now is Warlord, you know, and that's
a product of MJF.
Yeah, that's one star they've created, you know, that even... I was thinking, I was like, well, they have Malakai Black. I was like, oh, wait a minute, it's Alpha.
It's an NXT guy.
You know, it's another guy, you know. So it's a tough position for them to be in. The cool thing was, you know, Will Ospreay had never made, you know, an American appearance. He actually made it here in Kansas City the first time. Nice. And that was a huge pop, and I'd never seen him wrestle. I mean, that dude is a good wrestler. But, you know, it's just tough, you know. I mean, you can bring in, you know, a guy who's never really been in America, Will Ospreay, you know, and they have that other guy, Jay White, from New Japan, you know. It's just a tricky situation. And I know people dogged WWE, but they really have the most talent.
That's,
you know,
a fact.
Any other wrestling brand or show that you see, the WWE guys that used to be there, they're at the top of the card. You know, and it's not because they, you know, necessarily deserve it. I mean, look at, you know, Matt Mitrione, you know, or, you know, whatever his name is. What's his name now? Zack Ryder, what's his name now? Matt,
Cordova or Cardona?
Yeah,
Matt Cardona, yeah. Shout out to Matt Mitrione, former UFC fighter.
Yeah. I was like, that's not right. That's like a fighter.
But, yeah.
Whatever his name is, you know, Matt something, you know, he's the one of the top guys in Impact, you know, so it's... In WWE, anywhere you go will carry with you because you have the most talent at the time when you were signed.
Well, so, I was just going to say, and at this point, it's like, any promotion that starts up, AEW or even Impact, you know, the way that they're, you know, everything has gone legally and on screen for them the last 15 to 20 years-ish, I guess. Well, I guess not 15 to 20, last 10 years or so, the ups and downs of AEW. Or not AEW, Impact, but either way, everybody's 20 years behind. Because at the end of the day, the performance center, everything is set up, and now with Triple H going to take control of, you know, the helm of most of creative, and I mean, I don't know who's going to run NXT, if it's going to be him or somebody else, or who is, but, like, just to look at that and see, you know, like, how do you compete with that? Because they just scoop people up left and right. I was just going through their NIL and Instagram, which I'm kind of trying to understand, because I think that has something to do kind of with the college, with the NIL deals that they're now allowing and things like that. And, you know, Gable Stevenson, guys like that, Valerie Lareda, that just came over from Bellator. You know, she got you know, some stock and started to kind of rise in the Bellator, I won't say ranks, but, you know, she only had a couple of wins, I think, altogether. But she had that viral knockout when Bellator's first event came back from COVID. But, I mean, just looking at just that list, I mean, it was like, it was just as long as you could scroll, it seemed like, of just people that they were signing left and right. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I know that obviously that's what they're trying to do. And, you know, like, they can create that talent. Where does AEW create that talent? Do they, you know, start to invest in their own, you know, facilities like the Performance Center, things like that? Do they just continue to try to, because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, even though they are WWE guys, they had no, you know, good direction in WWE. So now coming to AEW, and if they're able to, you know, put them in the right direction, put them in the right storylines and build them up there, you know, which, you know, obviously you can argue with these top of the card guys that that's, you know, they've already been there, done that. But I don't know. I mean, I agree. It's tough water to tread, because what do you do in this situation? Just go all in and really try to create your own and model after WWE? Because at the end of the day, like you said, they have an amazing system. They have all the talent, you know. Don't get it twisted. They have all the talent and the ability to get all the talent and the ability to keep creating that talent. It's just a simple fact that I think the last 10 years or so-ish, 5 to 10 years in that range, there is just a very bad sense of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it on the head. You know, it's, you can have all the time in the world, but if you don't have direction, then it's just directionless talent. You know, so it's been, you know, a tough navigation for WWE. But, you know, now that Triple H, I think what they said was that Shawn Michaels is going to be kind of the main guy in NXT.
I did see he has a new huge role with them. I didn't click into the article, but I read the headline.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that's cool. You know, you can't get more creative than Shawn Michaels. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, I think a lateral move for NXT. You know, and I think they said Road Dogg has a part of it too. So, I think they'll be fine there. You know, like we talked about, you know, it is going to be very tough, because now AEW has stories coming out where their talent isn't happy right now. You know, they don't like the stories. You know, and one of the best storylines, again, is the WWE guy with Christian Cage and, you know, Jurassic, you know, the Jurassic Park tag team.
Yeah.
You know, and Christian Cage cut the best promos he's ever cut in his life. Did you watch those at all when he turned on Jungle Boy?
No, I haven't actually watched it. I kept up with it, but I didn't really watch any of it, which is really funny, because look at really the two best fans of Christian's career. I mean, I don't know if, like I said, I didn't really watch it, so I don't know if we can jump to that conclusion. But, you know, one of the best runs of his career was being the NWA champion in Impact. You know, I remember me and you seeing that for the first time and just being like, Christian Cage? Like, what is this, you know, an Impact, like, in a whole new environment? And we both kind of looked at each other like, he's a world champ? You know, how is he a world champ? And so...
Yeah, but a really good world champ.
Absolutely. You know,
and then he came back to WWE, and then I think Vince put the world title on him a few times.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he did pretty well with it, because he had those amazing matches with Randy. You know, and sometimes you just need that to reinvent your career, go somewhere else, you know, have someone see something else in you, and then come back with Vince, or, you know, at the time anyway, and say, okay, you know, here's what I did here, you know, now you have to put me in this spot, you know. And the one thing I will give Vince, I, you know, if people came back and they proved that they were a star, he would give them a shot. You know, look at Cody Rhodes. I mean,
that,
you know,
still blows my mind.
Right, like we looked at, like I sent you that message at WrestleMania. I said the man left a mid card, came back one of the biggest stars in wrestling.
Fact.
You know, and it's just crazy that, you know, a guy, I don't think people understand that, you know, Vince McMahon, if he's not going to give you a chance, he's not going to give you one.
Yeah.
So, you know, for Cody to come back and say, and not only for Cody to come back, but to keep his character and
everything the same, his entrance, his attire, even the song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the song, yeah. You know, to keep everything on with him and Brandy, you know, that is impressive. you know, and maybe he did it for Dusty, but, you know, at the same time, you know, that's all on Cody, you know, and it's a shame that he tore his pec because, you know, I think he would have gotten a big run. And I think Vince was trying to drive that Seth Rollins and him, Cody Rhodes for, you know, months and months, which, I mean, how many more of those matches can you see? They're good matches, but, you know, how many of the worst can you really see? So, you know, I think Triple H is going to help Cody a lot, you know, when he gets back. They'll obviously have to have one more match, which sucks, but I'm sure it'll be good, you know. Yeah. But and then I think Cody will get the title push, which is needed because, you know, I mean, he's become, you know, a completely different wrestler. And it's somebody you want to see with the world title.
Yeah, and I think somebody that you kind of hold in that light now. You know, you just see him as a top of the card guy, so... Yeah, that was one of the most interesting things I thought that I've seen in quite a while, because if it was anyone that I didn't think would be welcome back in WWE ever, it's definitely Cody Rhodes, to have a huge part of actually, you know, being part of the what birthed your real competition. And even like Jericho, seeing Jericho on Raw just a few weeks ago, was that John Cena's 20th anniversary?
It was John or Ray. I think it was John's, but John and Ray, ironically, both had a 20th anniversary like the same time.
Yeah.
Weird, but, it was one of them. But I think Chris is maybe one of two guys that can come back anytime he wants.
I agree.
You know, I think Chris and Mick Foley are the only two guys who can come back whenever.
Yeah.
You know, because Mick came back after being in TNA for, you know, a few years, and they brought him right back. So, but, you know, well, Kurt had a long waiting period, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's really, I think, just two guys who Vince looked at as come back whenever. Which I actually just finished Hardcore Diaries, but Countdown to Lockdown, Mick's book, which he actually is a very good writer. It's not just a work. He's a New York bestseller. He actually is. But he talks about his relationship with Vince, and he really didn't like Vince that much, which is weird. But, you know, he doesn't care for Vince. I mean, he respects him, you know, wholeheartedly, but as a person, he just didn't really care for Vince, which is weird, you know, because you never really hear wrestlers talk about Vince like that, but I'm sure we will now. But,
yeah,
you know, you never really heard someone say, I didn't really like him, you know. I mean, he gave me my career, but I don't really like him. which was rare.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think a lot of more people may voice those opinions now than they would have, you know, even months ago, let alone, you know, some years ago. Or how recently was that book?
That was a while ago.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to kind of shift just from kind of pertaining Mick Foley, one of his old foes, did you watch, I didn't watch it, but, or haven't seen it, any of Ric Flair's final match?
No, but I read about it. And I heard of it awful.
That's what I heard too.
I heard it was awful, but I think people were relieved that it was over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, someone had to. I know you're not going to tell Ric Flair what to do, but somebody had to sit Ric Flair down and be like, "Ric, you're 75 years old. You've almost died like three times. You know, let's not get in a ring, buddy. Let's just call it a day." You know, but I think now, you know, now it's finally over for him, which, whatever, you know, I mean, he got to wrestle with his son-in-law, you know.
Kind of a cool thing. I just remember scrolling on Facebook one day, and the video of him and Jay Lethal training popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, it was recent, I just thought. And it was something saying, you know, Nature Boy still got it. And I think it was from his account, but, and I just thought, please, no. Yeah. Do not do that. Like, you don't even need to be training. You do not need to be in the ring. You should be outside pointing, telling, you know, showing people what to do, giving advice. You know, if he wants to be a part of the business still, I totally get that. But, you know, be a coach.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to kind of leave this up for a wrap-up point, but, you know, I guess we'll leave this for last, the best for last. What's the deal with Bray Wyatt? You know, I mean, I think we've kind of wondered this for a while now, but there was a clip, I think it was after a backstage brawl, WrestleTalk had it, and it was a screenshot of a hand on the back of a far wall, the doors were open, and it was a glove, and it was very, very similar to Bray Wyatt's glove. So, you know how they did the very subtle, you know, when he first came as the Fiend, you know, a lot of people feel like that may be the start of the subtleness to it. I hope so. You know, I mean, it's almost, you know, I'm just waiting for the lights to go down any week now, you know, but I think Triple H can get him back, you know, if he hasn't already. You know, and it's just a matter of whenever he is. I think it's time, you know, and he's needed. I think to take WWE now to this new level with Triple H, I mean, if a guy was needed, you know, he's the guy. You know, he's the guy you need to launch it from, you know, A minus to, you know, A plus.
I agree. You know, I've always been a huge Bray Wyatt fan from Wyatt family days on. I have mixed feelings about The Fiend because there was so many parts of it that was done so well. But then you also have the Hell in a Cell match. And you have things where he was this overpowered, like, you know, just being. And not to mention... being just this overpowered character and but at the same time, you know, transitioning the way he did, coming out with the lantern that was Bray Wyatt's head, that was, you know, just done so well to a point. And I mean, Bray is just, he is so smart with the business in general, just the way he does everything. And I saw a tweet, it was like a week or two ago, from him saying, I can't remember exactly what it said, it was like a poem, but it kind of hinted at, you know, it didn't really hint at anything, but it's just like you kind of got the feeling like, okay, you got the fire behind you, you still want this, because the way his character is done over the last, you know, his tenure over WWE really has just been awful. You know, he's had this amazing, you know, the Wyatt family behind him. He's had, you know, this amazing character, and they have done nothing with it. WrestleMania 30, lose to John Cena. WrestleMania 31, maybe could have wrote that wrong with the Undertaker match, build it up as, you know, can Bray Wyatt be the new face of fear in WWE and that whole storyline? And, you know, they got me again with that one because I was right on board and I was like, okay, he's going to beat The Undertaker. He's going to get back to, you know, where he was at before.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the stuff with Bryan, you know, Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
You know, when Daniel Bryan joined the Wyatt family, you know, that was some good shit, you know. And
yes.
It's just in the rivalry with John Cena, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. You know,
yes.
It was just good stuff. You know?
Literally that time, so I didn't have cable around that time, and every Tuesday I would run to stream Raw from the night before. Just to, you know, catch the Hulu version of Monday Night Raw, because it was just, they just hit, it seemed like, every week. The Daniel Bryan storyline, the storyline with him, you know, going into the Wyatt family, and like you said, the John Cena storyline, I mean, it was just so good and done so well to have such a, you know, I mean, it is what it is, John Cena, and I did understand that a little bit more. It was the Undertaker one that really just, I was so disappointed that they didn't, you know, have him go over in that.
Well, you know, John was still in the prime of the company then.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to put Bray Wyatt over in that situation, especially when you felt like Bray Wyatt can get over in another time. Yeah. You know, so, and they already felt like he was over, probably. So winning or losing wasn't going to hurt him. You know, it maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Who knows? But I think John would have dropped it if they left it up to him. But I guarantee it wasn't left up to him. That's fair. So, and he, you know, he said that multiple times. He said a lot of the storylines that he was given, he would have done differently. But you know, when Vince tells you to do something, you do it. You know, so yeah. It's hard to, you know, say to call people barriers and stuff when at the end of the day, it's their money, but they don't have any say of what they want to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think from there, like with Bray, it was kind of downhill. I'm trying to think exactly where he went each year, kind of WrestleMania-wise and stuff. But yeah, until The Fiend, it just seemed like he really was just kind of left on an island. You know, they didn't really know what to do with him. You know, and it's like...
Well, he had that tag team with Matt Hardy.
Yeah, and I didn't mind that. You know, that was cool for the time being, especially when he came back with, or, you know, brought the broken gimmick. You know, I thought that was cool with the way that they played that out. You know, obviously the Finn Balor saga that pretty much ended Bray Wyatt as Bray Wyatt. And then him returning as The Fiend. And, you know, The Fiend stuff is, some of it was, you know, me personally, I've seen a lot of backlash over the Swamp match. Is that what it was called? It was, you know, the cinematic match.
Oh, him and Braun, yeah.
But the build up to that and the... I don't know, the way that they did that and pulled that off, I really thought it was kind of genius. Just
I liked it.
I did, you know, too.
I liked it. You know, I think people were upset because they wanted The Fiend right away, but, you know, you had to give Bray Wyatt a reason to bring out The Fiend. Mm-hmm. You know, so to have him be Bray Wyatt, you know, and I think one of his best lines was, you know, he showed up as Bray Wyatt to Braun on Tron. He said, "What's wrong, Braun? Okay, you've seen a ghost," you know. It was a good story. And then, you know, once he got dumped in the pond or whatever, you know, then he can be The Fiend, you know. Yeah. Then Alexa Bliss can join him, you know. It added to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they did that for Alexa Bliss to join because they didn't really have a good way of having her go.
Yeah, I could see that. And at the end of the day, what is the best wrestling to me? You know, it's storytelling. You know, at the end of the day, like, you know, yes, we all love the great in-ring work, and, you know, there are guys that are just phenomenal in the ring. But, you know, if you don't have a great story behind it, sometimes, you know, it's hard to get, you know, really into it, you know, to really have a story to tell. And I think that that right there was one of those moments where it just... Storytelling wise, WWE just knocked it out of the park. Cause you know, for like you said, him popping up and saying it looks like you saw a ghost. You know, it's like that was how Braun broke into the, you know, entire scene of WWE. So I think that's what made that so perfect to me. And then with the Swamp match, it, you know, I don't know, through COVID, those cinematic matches were kind of, you know, holding us down a little bit. I think that they were actually pretty good. The Undertaker match. The cinematic match between Bray and Cena.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the best things ever done, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was. You know, you kind of tie off all the stories that, you know, The Fiend did, or Bray Wyatt rather did, you know, and it all circled back. And, you know, they've got a big open line for it to circle back to Roman Reigns. And like I said, I think they're just waiting. You know, for that moment, he has to wrestle McIntyre and, you know, kick whatever, Clash of the Castle.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's after Clash of the Castle, you know, he's had the past four major pay-per-views, someone come out after his matches. So, you know, maybe it's Bray Wyatt this time. And if it is, you know, do you give Bray the title before WrestleMania?
That's a good question, and I think that maybe even to wait it out even more. I mean, at this point, we waited this long. Wyatt's had this long of a layoff, and another reason kind of why I wanted him to really go over the Undertaker is just, I think there's a lot of similarities there in the fact that he can have a long layoff, have a lot of time off, and that not really affect him, essentially. Mm-hmm. I think that he's had those moments where, you know, it hasn't affected him too much. And then, you know, he just rolls right off of the anticipation of seeing Wyatt.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy stuff. I mean, I guess final closing question: how long do you think we wait?
I want to say maybe around Royal Rumble time, because at the end of the day, it's really not that far. We're, you know, in August now, and when is Clash at the Castle? Is that this weekend, or is that in the next couple of weeks? Is it this weekend? It might be.
I think it's next week.
Okay, yeah, but sometime in August. So that takes you to September. That means you got September, October, November, maybe Survivor Series. I guess I kind of missed that one on the Big Four, but so maybe Survivor Series. I just think, like you said, I think it's hard to give Bray or The Fiend or, you know, whatever we see. That's another thing with Bray is, you know, when the Bray Wyatt character was dead, it's like, what is he going to do? And then all of a sudden we get The Fiend. And now it's like you burn The Fiend on TV. You know, kind of fumbled it, especially towards the end. You know, it had its great moments. It was a great character, greatly developed. And I think at this point is like, I don't know if you can bring The Fiend back. But at the same time, you know, I think Bray knows better than the rest of us and whatever he's going to do.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the guy who knows when to come back will come back when it's when he's supposed to. Yeah. But, you know, it, damn, a year thing to me that long. I hope it's not, you know, I hope it's before then. There's a lot of talk of him coming back and Hell in a Cell. That didn't happen, you know, so I'm hoping.
What are even the next pay-per-views? I mean, because October used to always be Hell in a Cell, it seemed like. Yeah, and then, so, I don't know. I'm interested to see that. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe we wait till November. Maybe the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, it'll probably be when we least expect it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm hoping it's in the next week or two. You know, you can't. But then you have to retie Cody in, and who I think was gonna, and then you have to retie Randy in when he comes back, because I think he was gonna get the next push.
Well, what about Karrion Kross?
I think he's a pawn in Triple H's long run. I think he'll get a push, but I don't think it's a title push. I think it's a upper mid card, lower upper card guy. Yeah. You know, so I think he'll be to the top, but I think it's kind of a, you know, here's this guy until the time's right to bring back this guy. You know, and they're known for doing that. So, you know, I'm sure they'll do that at some point. But, you know, a lot of good shit here in wrestling. And, you know, I think that you and I realize it's time to reboot, you know, and start looking again. And we're going to have a lot more shows for you, because wrestling has become a national treasure again.
I think that's a fact. One thing I want to ask about before we go that I was watching on Ups and Downs, and, you know, getting a feel, because I kept up with everything, but I haven't, like, kept up with the details and stuff and exactly what's going on. I know the gist, been a real casual lately, but with the Intercontinental title being the main event of SmackDown last week, Gunther versus Shinsuke Nakamura. And, you know, they talked about this package that they played that just got everybody hyped up. And, I mean, I think that's awesome. That is one of the most exciting things to me, just because, you know, those mid-card titles, they really used to mean something a lot more. They've been passed around and, you know, thrown on the ground, essentially, you know, and just run right over, and just whoever gets them. I mean, it's obviously not the equivalent of 24/7 belt, but I mean, you know, it's just not the same prestige. It's not the same belt when Triple H held it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think to bring that back, because, you know, that used to mean something. That used to really mean, like, you know, you were the guy that, like, you're probably next, you know, for a world title.
So you're the next guy up. Yeah.
And I think it was Bret Hart that put it this way, as the WWE title is for the guy that's the most over, but the Intercontinental title was the best wrestler. And to make that title mean something like that again, and the U.S. Championship is the same way, and, you know, I'm hoping to see them, you know, take care of that again the way it should be. But, you know, just the Intercontinental title, I think that, you know, that's a very prestigious belt throughout the history of wrestling. And for them to hopefully, let's see that being taken serious again and to be the main event of SmackDown on Fox, I think, solid.
I'd actually forgotten about that point. I agree with you. You know, I think it's great that they bring that back to a, you know, an actual focal point. You know, and I believe that's true. I think Gunther is probably Walter. I don't like old Walter, but, you know.
It's hard not to.
Yeah. You know, I think he is probably one of the better wrestlers on the roster. You know, so it is probably not too far from being true. And you had Shinsuke Nakamura wrestling him, and that match was fantastic. You know, so you've got a lot of those guys. And you got Bobby Lashley with the U.S. title. It doesn't get much better than Bobby Lashley. You know, so you've got two of the better pure wrestlers in the business that have those titles. So, you know, I think they're on to something here, and I think they'll start doing the, you know, the opens for the titles and make them more prestigious again. Kevin Owens said in his promo that he's going to come for every title, so we might see Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley here before too long, which would be awesome. You know, so I think a lot of positives, like we talked about at the top of the show, are coming from Triple H. Slowly, you know, he can't just, you know, change the whole show, you know, in the next week, but you're starting to see the Triple H creep in bit by bit, and before too long, you'll see it seamlessly, and I think we're in for a heck of a run.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I'm very curious to see what AEW kind of tries to counter with, and I'm very excited to just see the future of what is wrestling going to be, and where are we going to be at next year? By WrestleMania, where are we going to be? You know, what are we going to be, you know, how good can the product get? Like you said, it can't change overnight, but, you know, we'll see what can happen, because I think that Triple H is definitely a very, and if Paul Heyman's got a big hand in it, I think that's also another big deal, because I think with Paul Heyman and Vince, a big thing is maybe egos a little bit kind of getting in the way, if that makes sense, just because, you know, like, they're just too big of and too dominant of minds to work together. And I think with Triple H, you know, one, that's his, you know, senior in the wrestling business. So he's going to, you know, maybe, you know, curtail some things here and there. If, you know, like, I don't think they're going to bump heads like Vince and Paul, because, you know, at the end of the day, Vince and Paul, they competed against each other. You know, ECW, WWE. So I definitely think that makes the dynamic different between Paul and Triple H than it was with Vince and Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Paul's talked in, you know, many interviews about Vince, and he said it never worked relationship-wise. They were just two different guys. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, Paul and Triple H together. Like I said, man, you know, I'm excited. I think you are too. And I think this is going to be a big change for not just WWE, but AEW and wrestling in general. I think WWE, not that they weren't already at the top, but I think they're going to take a huge rocket leap forward in the future. And I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I'm all here for it.
Well, man, you know what? Like I said, we're going to be back a lot more, because wrestling has taken a whole new launch into this world. So we're definitely rebooting, and we're going back. You said we're going to have some new theme music, so I'm excited to hear what that is.
I actually found the old theme music on that. I got the other computer booted up, so I did that. We just dropped a call for a minute, and I happened to get the old laptop powered up.
There we go. So who knows? It'll be either repackaging or it'll be the same gimmick. So we'll see. But yeah, man, I'm excited. So we'll get the ball rolling again, and we'll be with you guys. And sure to check out Papa Show's vlog too. We'll be having some stuff on there with the different pollings for the show and all that stuff too. And Papa Show, you want to drop, you know, the vlog info and all that for them so that we can have that, because I know we will be using that, and I'll be starting to use it too. We'll get all that rolling, and we'll get the show rebooted and ready to go.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, blog Papa Show knows been. You know, blogging away, mostly Chiefs, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of MMA here, but definitely going to get some wrestling content, especially getting deeper into it. And then also quick little plug to YLMonarch.com if you want to catch any of our stuff we put on there, like Kansas City themed stuff and, you know, more sports oriented, little bit of Game of Thrones flair in there, and, you know, maybe we got some wrestling with kayfabe shirts coming your way too, so just be on the lookout.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll be talking to you soon. We'll get the ball rolling.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you for listening and hanging out with us here for the last hour or so. Everybody have a good one, and look out for wrestling with kayfabe.